I like to call it convergence. Some very interesting experiences have occurred in the last two or three days that have led me to reflect and also then to share with you what I am about to share with you. The first thing that started me thinking was that last Thursday, I was invited to our senior citizens group to do something that I affectionately call Pester the Priest. And Pester the Priest, we do this a lot in Life Team. Pester the Priest is when the priest comes over and he begins to answer any questions, however flaky the questions are. It doesn't matter. And I just invite questions to come forward. And while I was with our senior citizens, the subject always turns into, most of the time, they ask all kinds of questions. And then they ask, usually questions as to, Father, why are your homilies so long? And so I explained to them why my homilies are so long. And actually, that was a very complimentary experience because they said, oh, we understand. You ought to say that to the congregation. And I said, maybe I will say that to the congregation. Well, I was thinking about when I should say it and when I should not. And this morning, right after this homily, we're going to be doing what is called the rite of welcome. And the rite of welcome is welcoming to today. A candidate and a catechumen, is that correct? A candidate and a catechumen. A candidate is a person who's already been baptized in another faith communion, like Methodist or Presbyterian, whatever. And that's a candidate. We don't rebaptize them. And then a catechumen is a person who has never been baptized. We're welcoming them this morning, and we'll be doing the rite of welcome after the homily, which will probably be long. So get used to it. Okay? But I'm about to spend the long homily explaining to you why. Okay? So it's actually beneficial for you. But I thought it would be important to explain to them, to the two of you that are coming in, what kind of church you're going into. Because you're not just coming into St. Cyril's. You're coming into the Catholic Church. And so I want to take a little bit of time to explain to you the state, at least from my perspective, and a little snippet of how I see the Catholic faith and Catholicism as practiced in the United States. I think it's important. At least I think I have an important perspective to share with you. And then, so that's two convergences. One is the senior citizens, and the other one is the catechumen and the candidate, rite of welcome. And then I was listening to the readings today, and one reading particularly struck me. And it's the second one from John. Listen to this. Halfway through, the way we may be sure that we know him is that we keep his commandments. And those who say, I know him, but do not keep the commandments are liars. And the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in them. Now, the part that really got to me was, the way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments are liars. Now, it's interesting because I think to a large degree, all of us are pretty selective about which commandments we keep. I have been a priest this June 3rd. It will be 29 years. I've heard a lot of confessions. I can count on one hand 5 times, possibly, the times that I have heard that a person has failed to keep holy the Sabbath. I get lots of impurity. I get lots of sex stuff. We're obsessed with it. Okay? I get lots of impatience and all kinds of stuff like that. But never do I hear that I have failed to keep holy the Sabbath. And the last I heard, that's one of the commandments. And so the question really is, what does it mean to keep holy the Sabbath? So, given those three convergences, allow me, especially directing myself to the two of you who are going to be received, but to the rest of the congregation too, to explain to you, first of all, let me just start out with the church itself. The Second Vatican Council made a statement in one of the constitutions of the Second Vatican Council. This is a gathering. A lot of people don't know what the Second Vatican Council is. The Second Vatican Council is a gathering of all the bishops of the world that occurred in the mid-60s. And they put out several documents restating, in modern terms, the teaching of the Catholic Church. The Second Vatican Council called the Catholic Church, and I'll say it in Latin, and don't get impressed because I don't know Latin. I just know little snippets here and there. It called the church Ecclesiam Semper Reformanda, which means the church always in need of reform. Always in need of reform. The church is seen as the bride of Christ, but at the same time, we're all sinners. And so the ideal of what the church is far, a lot of times, from the way the church does. When I was in graduate school, I took many courses. But one of the courses I took was called ecclesiology, and ecclesiology is the study of the church. And it's interesting because every Sunday when we celebrate the Mass, we say the Creed. And when we say the Creed, we say that the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Those are called the four marks of the church. Notice the word holy. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The word holy does not refer to our behavior. Okay? Otherwise, if it tried to say that we were holy through our behavior, it would be a lie. Because we're not. We're sinners. And so the word holy, as my professor used to say to us, refers to the fact that the Holy One dwells with us. What makes us holy, what makes you saintly, is not the fact that you behave well. It's the fact that at baptism, you were given the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Okay? Notice the adjective, holy. That makes us holy. Now, whether you behave according to the holiness you have received is a different issue. And most of us do not behave according to the holiness that we have received. Thus, when we, and I'm going to please understand, I have to skip over a lot of this. Otherwise, my already long homily is going to be super long. Okay? And I'm not going to do it. I could give a class on this and I don't want to. What I'm getting at is that the way we practice our faith sometimes is far, far from the way we ought to. And what has happened is that we as Catholics, especially in the Western world, in the United States and in Europe, we have, I think, diluted, attenuated, dumbed down our faith into a series of little prescriptions that allow us to keep our label Catholic on our foreheads. We've dumbed it down. What does it mean for me to be Catholic? Well, it means I try to go to church on Sunday, and I don't eat meat on Fridays that I'm not supposed to. And once we get those little labels done, boom, I'm Catholic. That's all I need to do. And it's sad, because that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And it's sad that that aspect of the church is quite large in Europe and in the United States. And it saddens me to tell you that we're welcoming you into a church in which many Catholics will not have even the slightest desire to do what you're doing. You're actually having to make an effort to become Catholic. Okay? Most people, all they want to do is just get their duty done and get it over with and go on. Okay? That's why converts are really better. Because they take it seriously. You guys take it seriously. A lot of us were born into this stuff and we just kind of, whatever. Okay? So, a lot of times, let me tell you this, and I saw this, I was channel surfing last night. I got home pretty late, and I was just channel surfing, and I happened to surf right over EWTN. And I saw this couple who had converted, actually not converted, they had come into full communion, and they were really excited about the Eucharist, and they were excited about being Catholic. And the guy said something that really got me. He was right. He said, a lot of times, Protestants most of the time only have two sacraments. They have baptism and Eucharist. And he said, a lot of times Protestants do a lot better with the two sacraments than most Catholics do with access to all seven. And he's right. He's right. Because what we've done is we've kind of diluted it to the point that it's just kind of jumping over Catholic hoops. And then when we expect more of each other, you're cutting into my Sunday. You're cutting into my Sunday. So this comes into the question is, here I am. I'm a Catholic priest. I became a Catholic priest because I believe this stuff. I believe it. And I happen to think, and I know, it's the center of all human life. It's the center. Okay? I didn't become a priest so that I could be an actor in your religious fantasy, or so that I could make your life convenient, so that we could all kind of go about our Sunday stuff and get Mass done. Just get it done. And that's not what it's about. I became a Catholic priest because I really felt the Lord telling me to go and announce the good news of salvation. Announce that He has risen. Announce that the meaning of life is greater than the stuff of every day. And so here I am, 29 years after I was ordained to the priesthood, and years ago, but even today, the bishop gives me a group of people. This is called a parish. Gives me a group of people. And he says to me, in effect, Mario, go to that part of West Houston and make them disciples of Jesus. Make them disciples. Here is a building. Here are their contributions. Here is the people that will work with you. Coordinate that and make them disciples. That's my job. That is my only job, is to make you disciples of Jesus. And the day that I die, I'm going to face God. And He's going to ask me, what did you do to help the people I entrusted to you become disciples of Jesus? I'm not going to answer about how convenient I made your life. I'm not going to have to answer about how I handled the church finances. I'm not going to have to answer about buildings and upkeep and how popular I was or was not. God couldn't care less about people liking him or me or you or anybody else. He wants to know whether you're doing the right thing. The right thing. You know, it's a long time ago. I had a lady right there on the breezeway, and she was hopping mad at me for something or other. I don't even remember. And I looked at her, and it was a decision I had to make. And I looked at her, and I said, "Ma'am, I don't mean to make you angry, but I'd rather have you angry than God angry. Because I report to him, and I have to do the best I can, and I have to make that decision." So the question then becomes, no, not the question. The issue is, everything you hear and see me do is to the best of my conscience a decision to help all of you, the most of you, become disciples of Jesus. That's what I try to do all the time. Now, so how do we handle Sunday? That's one of the, I can't go into all the decisions that I have to make. I'm constantly having to make decisions. And sometimes I tell people my job is to constantly turn from decision to decision to decision. Okay? And then no matter what decision I make, my favorite way of saying it is 20% of you think I walk on water. 20% of you would like to see me permanently below the water. Okay? And 60% of you think the whole thing's all wet and you don't care. Okay? But my job is to make decisions. And so I can't go into all the decisions I have to make. But the question is, why do I do Sunday the way I do Sunday? Why do I preach long? Why did I build this thing that people call Father Mario's jacuzzi? Okay? Why do we have baptisms at Mass? Why do I take globs of oil and lather it all over kids and stuff like that? First of all, let me tell you about Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's not a free day for me to get things done. And by the way, I have to go to Mass. Okay, it is the Lord's Day. It belongs to God. The whole day. The whole day. It should be a day in which your first priority is your relationship with God. Now, sadly, what we have done is we've done it. It's a free day in which I have to go to Mass, and I really want to find the priest that does it in the shortest amount of time so I can get going and do my other stuff. Okay? That's not what you're going to get from me. It's not what you're going to get from me because it's wrong. It's wrong. It's giving in to, you know, sometimes what I feel like? Sometimes I feel like a father. You call me father. You call me father. I feel like the father of a family sitting around with a whole bunch of his family around it. A lot of the kids around us. And everybody saying, at dinner, one saying, "Come on, I got to go to the library." The other one saying, "I got a date. Can't we hurry this up?" And the other one saying, "Oh, come on, I want to go hang out with my friends. I have plans." And I'm sitting there going, "Shut up and eat your broccoli." Why? Because it's good for you, and because it's important that the family spend time together. It's important. And you don't church change the family time. You don't. And we work hard to get you to a meal that is complete. I work hard to make sure that the meal you are served on Sundays is complete and nutritionally balanced. Okay? Do you remember there was a documentary done recently called Supersize Me. And Supersize Me is about a guy who decided to eat all of his meals at McDonald's. I think for a month or 6 weeks, something like that. They had to take him to the hospital because his system was so messed up. Now, I ask myself this question. Presuming, and I do presume this is correct, that 90% of the people of that come to Mass at St. Cyril's get their bulk of their religious education, their only religious education, their only feeding on the Word of God on Sunday. Okay? That's what I presume. Not a lot of us do a lot of other stuff. So you're basically feeding at God's restaurant of God's Word at St. Cyril's. This is the only place that you're being fed theologically. And so I asked myself this question. Am I giving you a balanced diet? Am I giving you a balanced diet? If you eat all your theological or religious meals at St. Cyril's, will you get sick? Like McDonald's? Hey, I could serve you fast food. I could. I could serve you fast food. But I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. My kitchen is called Starbucks. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen cooking your meals. I make sure that they're balanced. Okay? I make sure that they're balanced. And then when I get here, I try to serve you a balanced meal. And I presume that you understand it's the Lord's day. That you haven't planned a gazillion things. And that this is not just one of the gazillion things you got to get done and go on. This is the Lord's day. If you plan something else, make sure you got plenty of time. We keep track. This is interesting, at least for me. We keep track, very close track, of the time that we spend at liturgy at St. Cyril's. Okay? Every Tuesday morning, we have a pastoral meeting. And Fred, who's sitting right here, is on the staff, is coordinator, and all the coordinators keep tabs on how long my homily is, how long Father High's homily is, when Mass started, when Mass ended. So if anyone says, we always da-da-da at 11:15, we go, wait a minute, we have 2 years' worth of records. And we can tell you, our celebrations of the Eucharist last 90 minutes. Plan on it. 90 minutes. Okay? Now, why? And especially the issue is, why the homily? Because I can't serve you fast food. What would you think? Let me ask you this. What would you think of a parent who strove mightily with her or his children and gave in to the demand that all meals be fast food? And in their desire to do the best, the parent then decides to buy nutritionally complete meal bars. And so that every time you sit down to eat, what you sit is to a quickie meal bar. And that was your entire diet. I would call Child Protective Services. Now, technically, I guess you could survive. But it's not responsible parenting. And last time I heard, you do call me father. And last time I heard, I'm responsible to God for how I feed you. And so, thus you have. Now, could I make them shorter? Yeah, I could. I could. And I really try. You know what happens to me? And I really thank God for this. I really thank God. I told you I've been a priest 29 years. I am still, today, as fresh and as excited and more excited about the message of the gospel of Jesus as the day that I was ordained. And what happens to me is that I get up here and I'm so excited about it that I can't believe you aren't that excited about it. And I can't, and I get overly excited, and then I forget myself. I forget the time. Okay? And so I get excited. So when it's time for baptisms, for example, I think it's important. It's the day that the child is being born in the sight of God. I think we ought to, why do you think I put the baptismal font smack here in the center so that all of us could see it? Because a lot of times it's put in the back of churches. That's an interpretation of taking theology and translating it into architecture. It's the entrance to the church. But I didn't interpret it that way. I interpreted it as the entrance into the church, the community. Not the entrance into the building. Entrance into the community of the church. And why do I use lots of water and why do I use lots of oil? Because they're signs. Okay? It's like, for example, a kiss. Can you imagine? A kiss is a sign of love. Can you imagine a relationship in which all you ever get is, whoop, whoop. That's it. Don't you ever want a sloppy kiss? Don't you ever want a sloppy, wet one? I don't get any, but that's all right. Right? But sacraments are like that. Sacraments are supposed to be sloppy, wet kisses from God. They're supposed to be experiential. And I presume that what we're here to do on the Lord's Day is to experience God, to get a great meal, to learn. Why do we have a bookstore? So that you can have an opportunity to learn. Why the garden? So you can have an opportunity to stroll in the midst of this craziness of Westheimer. That's what it's all about. And so, it's already getting to the point that I have to stop. Because I'm watching my time here. And so that's why I do what I do. Some of you will like it, and some of you will not. I constantly remember what Jesus said. I listen to him a lot. I try. And Jesus said, "Beware, Mario, beware all of you, when all people speak well of you." Because that's the way they spoke to the false prophets. Haven't you ever had some of your kids call you the worst mom in the world, the worst dad, because you were making the decisions that you thought best for them? Well, that's the position I'm in. I'm in the position of having to make the decisions before God that I think are best for all of us. Am I right all the time? No. I will make mistakes. I will make them. I am not perfect. But I gotta make the best decision I know how. And God and the bishop have given me the responsibility. The other day the bishop or God wants to take it away from me and give it to somebody else, God bless him. I'm ready to go sell cookies somewhere. Okay? But I love my job. I love my job. I love being a priest. And I love being pastor of St. Cyril's. And so that's why I do what we do. Today, I want to welcome you, the two of you, that we're going to allow you into the church. This is the big church. Big church. Not St. Cyril's, the Catholic Church. You're going to find lots of styles. You're going to find lots of different personalities of priests. You're going to find some priests that you really like. You're going to find some priests that you don't like at all. You're going to find a lot of things that you go, eh, and go on. You're going to find lots of styles, lots of different ways to get close to God. You're not supposed to like all of them. There's some things in the Catholic Church that I don't like, but I obey. Because it's the truth. Because it is the closest, it's the truth of what Jesus intended, as the Second Vatican Council said, subsists in the Catholic Church. It doesn't mean it's bounded. There's truth outside, but the main truth is here. But we don't do it perfectly. We don't do it perfectly. You're going to experience a lot of different things St. Cyril's is just one style. It's the style that I do because I'm in charge and I have to make the decisions. Could they be done another way that is just as good or better? Yeah, probably. Probably. But I don't know how to do that. I only know how to do the way God gave it. So I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you. You're seeing the incarnation of the Catholic Church at St. Cyril's. But you're being welcomed into the broad Catholic Church. We will delight you, and we will hurt you. We will inspire you, and we will bore you to tears. All of that. But just remember, no matter what happens, it's as insufficient as the priest may be, as insufficient as the choir may be, which they are not, as insufficient as the DRE or someone else could be, we're all sinners. But it is always Jesus who is at the head of the church. And when we celebrate the Eucharist, it is Jesus who celebrates the Eucharist. No matter how boring the homily is, how long, how short, it is Jesus. The priest, it's interesting, and I'll close on this. Do you notice that the priest says, take this. This is my body. You're not eating Mario's body. You know why I don't say, take this. This is Jesus' body? Because when the Catholic Church understands that when the priest celebrates Mass, he's doing it what's called in persona Christi, in the person of Jesus Christ. We're all sinners, and we will, like I said, delight you and hurt you, interest you and bore you. But through it all, I hope you see Jesus in each other and all the people in this church and in the ministry that we try to provide for you. And so to the two of you, welcome. Welcome to a motley crew. Welcome to what Oscar Wilde used to say about being Catholic, here comes everybody. Okay? And that's what you're welcome to. A community that is trying very ineptly to be disciples of Jesus and to a pastor who's doing his best to make you that. At this time, I call you forward.